Good morning, Rabbi Galperin.
How are you, Ilan?
I'm good. How are you?
Baruch Hashem, Baruch Hashem.
Parashat Vayera.
Parashat Vayera, yeah. It's a very, very interesting parasha. A special parasha, too.
Okay. Tell us about it.
The special parasha is, besides it being, you know, Parashat Vayera, it brings back good memories, to me at least, is because it was... It's my bar mitzvah portion.
Yeah, you told me that yesterday.
That's right. And so it's, you know, but there's a lot of messages in here. A lot of things that we can learn in our day-to-day life that we see, you know, with Abraham and God. One of the things I was thinking about, which I thought was very interesting, is, you know, Abraham goes through 9 tests, and then the 10th test that Abraham goes through is in this week's Torah portion. It's his last test, is God telling Abraham, you need to now take your son, Isaac, and bring him up to the mountain and sacrifice him to me.
Yeah.
And everyone knows the story, that he didn't ask questions. He brought Isaac up, was ready to sacrifice him, and an angel came up and said, don't even do one mark on him.
Yeah.
Don't even blemish him, do nothing. And obviously Abraham was upset, because if God wanted him to do something, why all of a sudden was God changing his mind? So everyone knows that there was a ram that was found in the bushes, and that is what he sacrificed. A lot of commentators bring down that was the ram that was put there and created when God created the world. So, you know, there's, in that alone, there's so many commentaries and going on back and forth in that aspect. But one of the things I wanted to talk about is what is the uniqueness of Abram's 10th test? Why this test is so much more elaborated, so much more of lessons involved in it than all the other 9 tests that he had prior to this. And there's a lot of commentaries that write, that the Akedah, the sacrifice of Isaac, Abram's 10th test, was unique because God presented the challenge to Abram not as an obligation, but as an option. Now we're going to sort of talk about that, which is fascinating, very interesting. Is it, was Abraham obligated to do it, or did he have the option, maybe I want to do it, maybe I don't want to do it? It's a little difficult to accept this explanation over here in our commentaries for a couple of reasons, and we're going to talk about that.
Okay.
If God visits the person personally and asks him to do something, it's very hard to say that it could be considered as optional. If the creator of the universe says, please do something, obviously, you know, it has to be done. If God comes to you, Iran, and says, you need to do something, you're not going to think and say, well, does God want me to do it? Is it up to my option? Maybe I should do it, maybe I shouldn't do it. If God tells you, you're going to do it.
Go do it.
That's number one. And number two, even if one would accept that Abram was not actually obligated to sacrifice his son, it still doesn't make the Akedah, the actual sacrifice, unique. Because since there were many Jewish people in history who sacrificed their lives for Judaism, even they were not obligated to do so. Because there are only 3 times in the Jewish law that a person is required to sacrifice his life.
Yeah.
Number one is for if he has to murder, worship idols, and commit an act of forbidden relation. Nevertheless, what do we see? We see that many Jews gave up their lives rather than transgress commandments other than these. So therefore, they had to self-sacrifice. So even if Abraham was not obligated to sacrifice his son, this wouldn't make the Akedah so unique. Because everyone else, there are other people that gave up their lives for the, not necessarily for the 3 things that they had to, but for other concepts, for other reasons. So we can't, you know, it's problematic to sort of give that answer why this 10th test is so unique. Further thing, even if you want to think about it, is that Rashi, who is the preeminent commentator on the Torah, says that Abram was given his final test so that people will not say that the first 9 tests were totally insignificant. What does that mean? Because prior to the date, Avram had passed a series of extremely challenging tests.
Yeah.
You know, where he put himself, he was thrown onto a fiery furnace rather than bowing down to the idol worshippers. So even if Avram was not given a test of the arcade of the sacrifice, how could it possibly be said that the first 9 tests were totally insignificant? Because surely such acts of outstanding courage and trust in God are extremely valid in their own right. So to tell us that, you know, the Akedah is the sacrifice of Isaac is a unique sacrifice for the fact of, he had the option of either doing it as an obligation or either doing it as an option is, a little bit problematic, because there's people that died in Jewish history that didn't necessarily die for the 3 things that they had to die. There's an explanation which is something interesting and something that we can, take to our lives.
Yeah.
When a person observes a mitzvah, a commandment, there's always, maybe not by you, Ilan, because you're a holy guy, but by me.
Oh, thank you.
There's always a possibility that he is either partly or wholly guilty of having an ulterior motive. Perhaps he wishes to appear pious and righteous. Maybe he is motivated by the process of earning a reward rather than the desire to carry out God's will. There's always this, if I do this mitzvah, maybe God will, give me right away.
Maybe I'll get something for me.
Maybe I'll get something.
Yeah.
But even if a person has a pure motive, that he wishes to sanctify the world through the observance of mitzvah, which is okay, which is noble, it is still a motive. Not that this is a problem per se, but there's always the possibility that this holy motive, think about it, you're saying this holy motive, what the person is harboring, willingly or unwillingly, perhaps subconsciously, that's the person's true agenda. It's not the divine service at all. Even though there's nothing wrong with this motive, it's a holy motive. He wants to do bring godliness into the world. He wants to be able to go to Garden of Eden. He wants people to respect him more, think he's more pious, think he's more righteous.
Mm-hmm.
However, to perform mitzvahs for God, the idea of making the world, for example, a holy place and pleasing for him, is really, if you're doing it in a way where there isn't, the ulterior motive. The only way for proving that such a person is observing God's will out of pure and unquestioning submission to a higher authority is if we were asked to perform an act which we could compromise, which would compromise his career of charity and sanctity. Then, as we'll see by Abraham in a second, only then it can become apparent whether the person's observance of God's commandments has been calculated in the terms of the personal gain. For example, if I'm going to, give charity, give tzedakah because, I'm going to become more famous, so I'm going to, people are going to respect me more, then that's nothing wrong with giving tzedakah like that.
Yeah.
It's okay. It's fine. Because you have a holy, quote-unquote, motive to what you're doing. However, if you're doing it in a way that there is no other ulterior motive, I'm going to give charity because it's what God wants me to do. Whether it be people are going to know, whether it be people aren't going to know, whether I'm going to be famous, whether I'm not going to be famous, if that's what God asked me to give to the doctor, that's what I'm going to do, then that's what I do. So I have no ulterior motive. The fact that God tells me to do it, that's what I do. I don't think of anything further. Therefore, the Akedah, the sacrifice, was the ultimate test. Why? Since Avram, who devoted his whole life to promote the awareness of one God in the world, was asked to execute the only person who could continue this cause after him. This test would prove whether Abram has promoted the awareness of God in the world for God's sake or for his own sake. Because the only person that's going to be able to continue after Abram dies his work of spreading godliness is his son, Isaac. And if he is going to now bring him up and slaughter him, give him as a sacrifice, who's going to continue?
Mm-hmm.
So is he not going to bring him up because, you know, I have an ulterior motive, it's a good reason, I want God's goodness to be spread, I need him to do it. Or is he not going to bring him up because God said, don't bring him up, leave him alone? So he's doing it now because God wants to do it, no, for no other ulterior motive. So Abram's, if you think about it, Abram's earlier test did not fully clarify this point. Why? Because, you know, look, he could, you know, he jumped onto the fire of Ur-Kasdim, you know, in the time, but not to get killed, so he can continue his mission. Abram knew that giving up his life, Abram knew that by him giving up his life in public, would continue his mission showing, I sanctified my life for God's name, and I jumped into the fire instead of getting killed. But by Isaac, if he killed his son, that was it, his mission was over. So he had a choice to choose. Is he going to care about his charity? Is he going to care about what he's doing? Or this is what God wants me to do? And that's an important thing in our life. That's what's so unique about the 10th test that he had. Was, are we going to think about our gain out of doing this mitzvah, out of this being nice to people, or are we doing it for the simple fact that God wants us to do it?
And that's a big difference.
And that's a huge difference. Is it, are we doing it as an optional, or are we doing it as an obligation? If we're doing it as an optional, you know, if it's good for me, I'll do it. If it's not good, not necessarily will I do it. But if it's an obligation, then I don't feel any ulterior motive. I need to do it because I need to do it. And that's it. And that's an incredible lesson that we can learn from Abraham and Isaac, and especially from the 10th test that we can make part of our lives.
And
I thought that was interesting.
And that's a beautiful parasha, this one and the one before, and they are connected in a way because it's...
Oh, for sure.
Things that follow.
Oh, sure, you know, with Abraham getting his Brit Milah.
Yeah.
And then he's having, you know, the three angels coming to him. And then he's going to be able to go and, you know, bring up his own son. So, and there's a lot of connections between this, you know, if you go and look, most of all the, in Parshat Bereshit, Noach, Lechatava, Yerach, Haistara, Soldat, all of these parshiot portions have a specific connection.
Yeah,
you know,
there's a link between
a link between every single one of them, which is unique.
And it's beautiful.
So that's something on the Haistara portion.
Good. And services on Shabbat.
Services Friday night is 6:30 Friday night, and Shabbat morning 9 o'clock. And as we talked about many times, we're doing a huge Hanukkah event. You know, we're doing a very big food can drive, which we're going to give to the poor people of Windsor, the homeless shelters.
Yeah.
And I encourage everyone to get involved and do it. And, you know, you can drop it off at the Shara Shemai in your cans or your donations. You can drop it off at the temple during their business hours. So I encourage really everyone to get involved.
So please send your cans.
Yeah. Yes, we can.
Yes, we can. Rabbi, thank you.
No problem, thank you.
And talk to you soon.
God willing, have a great Shabbat and a great week.
You too.
Be well.
Bye-bye.
Bye.